to God and comes near Daniel. He says, he came near where I stood. So as Daniel sought God, then the picture moves to where he was standing. Isn't it wonderful to know tonight that as we really want to hear from God, to hear his voice, as we seek the meaning, that he'll come near to us and he'll come where we're at. We don't have to get, you know, in the middle of the week or on Monday afternoon, Monday morning. We don't have to get back to church. We don't have to go somewhere to God. But God is a God who continually is just, he's there. Through Jesus living inside of us, his presence is always there, but so often we ignore him, we push him aside. So he is ready at any moment to come near exactly where we're at in our life. And not only physically where we stand, that's awesome to know, no matter where we're at or what's going on, that he'll come near us, he'll stand with us, he'll be there, he'll speak to us. But listen, wherever we're at in our life, what we're dealing with, Tim, God is a God who wants to come and be with us. And there's a result. So remember, so number one, he's seeking God, seeking information. Then the angel comes and stands. So there's several results that kind of fall out of these next few verses as we head toward 27. The first result we find there in 17, it says, really, it says he came near, two things happen. So if you look in 17, it says, I was afraid and I fell upon my face. The reason that Daniel was afraid is it was the glory of God that was showing up. It wasn't just because the angel showed up. It just wasn't because he was going to be getting a message from God. But if you study the passage and as you look at what's going on here, it's the glory of God being manifested. So when you seek to hear God's voice, you're going to encounter God. And whenever you encounter God, whether it's in the Bible or in prayer or in a song or in a service, wherever you're at, what you're going to encounter is the glory of God. And the glory of God will bring that an overwhelming presence. It's a glory. It's something that we'll never fully understand until we get to heaven. Amen? We'll not understand what it is to experience the glory of God. But whenever the glory of God comes and you're hearing God's voice, there is this element of fear, of not being able to explain or understand what's going on. It's not like a terror of something that you're just definitely afraid of and that you'd run from. It's from an evil spirit, but it's the glory of God that's showing up. So that's, once again, so that's a result. When we want to hear, if we're hearing his voice, it's not going to always be, oh, okay, God, I understand, I got that, I need to stop doing that, and, oh, I need to start doing that. If you're really hearing from God, there should be this overwhelming sense of his glory and his presence, his majesty. He says in verse 17 that he literally fell on his face. And there's nothing like really seeking God's voice, and maybe you're in a time in the Word or some song you've listened to. I had mentioned we had started Wednesday night out with just that powerful, I think, worshipful song of Clear the Stage. And I had suggested to y'all, you know, if you've never done it, try that sometime. Just be alone with no distraction, hear that song. And so we headed up to Sunday school, and somebody was telling me, hey, preacher, I did that. I tried that. And they were, without even having to say anything, as they tried to say something, I was understanding what they were experiencing as I've done it. It's just that presence of God. It's that glory of God. And it really does. Listen, when you're really hearing from God, I think there's two things his glory calls us to do. We want to fall on our face. And now, at times we can do that. I've fallen, you know, down to pray on my face. I've fallen on the bed to pray. But I've even been riding down the road, and it'll be a little dangerous. You ain't falling on the face there, okay? Keep your eyes on the road. But the thing is, you'll experience that glory of God and you'll really sense he's speaking to us. Number one, about our sin that we talked about this morning. And number two, that he's just speaking to us, challenging us about kind of where we're at in our lives, where he wants to go. And it's this feeling of you just want to fall down before him. And that's what we want to experience. That's my desire. And it's so amazing. And I'm so thankful so many of you come back on Sunday night. But, you know, really I thought this afternoon as I was reading the Bible and praying some, what we have a picture of in church life is, as my uncle used to tell me, I love my uncle to death, worked for him for years, and he was just kind of Sunday morning church, you know, fella, and he would tell us, and he said, hey, it just takes more church for some folks than does others. But no, what it has is the more you experience God's glory and the more you hear from him, the more you want to hear from him, and it's just a lot of folks that don't want to really hear anymore. Heard enough. Or did they hear anything? It's amazing. It's amazing. I'll never forget one years ago, and went, and we were going to go to one of these dynamic, growing, thriving churches. I'm gonna tell you, one of the worst things you can do is try to go look at another church, figure out what God's doing there, and try to come back and replicate it. It don't work too good. Okay, no, don't waste your time. Matter when we went, it's a stop. Well, we went after church one Sunday night. I never forget arriving, and I wouldn't dare name the church's name or preacher's name. We had a wonderful time together. The funny thing was, they didn't have Sunday night service. And he was so excited about not having Sunday night service. And in fact, he said, oh, they didn't have Sunday night service when I came. They'd already gotten rid of it, so I'm so glad. And all I could think about is what I'd always thought, and I really believe God had shown me, that what happens most often when a church will lose a pastor, one of the first things that Satan gets and takes away is Sunday night service. That's one of the first things he'll take away. So that's all I could think about is hearing those words. It was really hard for me to kind of hear some of the things I was saying, because I'm thinking, I just long, as we saw this morning, we lived in the Nexus there. God has designed, God came up with church. It's God's church. He set it up because he knew we would need it. And there is something you hear from a God in a different way. I mean, I could have played all the songs in the world at home on, the computer or whatever, but I wouldn't have got the message and the meaning of a song that Kay and Loretta sang tonight. You just don't get that, amen? You don't get the interaction. Yes, we can hear from God anywhere. I mean, I'm thankful for that, but he makes something special about his church. So I always remember, so I'm glad you wanted to come back and hear more from God. I might have said it earlier, but it just came to mind. I had a Jim had called me not long ago, I think I said this Wednesday, and he talked to me, I can't believe I let my phone afterwards talk so long. He said, I don't know why I don't come to church. I just don't know why I don't come to church. I need to come to church. He hit me the next morning riding down the road. He's not listening to God. Because if you listen to God, you'll be in his house. So in verse 18, it has that phrase of speaking with me. So he's literally here in verse 18. It's coming about what Daniel needed and desired, what we're looking for. He was speaking with me, he says. And then he says, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and he set me upright. So Daniel was experiencing God again. Once again, he's on his face. And the most amazing thing as I studied, one of the commentators mentioned the thought, and it's kind of practical, I guess, but I never thought of this, but as he was down and just not doing anything and just, in the presence of God and hearing from God and God was speaking to him, it didn't take but one touch of God. And it's a picture here in this verse of the power of God. So isn't it wonderful that you can be in prayer and you're seeking, wanting to hear God's voice and you're needing direction, and it really, he's got such a power that he can just touch your heart or your mind. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to God and got on my knees and said, God, I need to hear your voice. I need that still small voice. I need direction. I need that understanding we looked at last Sunday. And really, I can't tell you any specific things sometimes that he shows me. There's no answer seems to come, and I'll continue to stay there. And I'm saying, God, you're really burdened down, Sandy, by it. But I just cannot testify enough about how many times I've stood up with just a sense that there's a strength and a peace and something has happened. And that's that supernatural. That is that spiritual sense we're going on. It's not that he gave me an answer. It's not that he did anything, but I believe it's that touch like Daniel got. That touch that'll get you back up on your feet and get you back out. And that's one thing we're going to see in a moment, verse 27, as Daniel, experiences all these things in his life, but God strengthens him, gets him up, and gets him back really basically to doing his work. It says he was touched there, and in verse 19, it says, and he said, I will make thee know what shall be. So now go to verse 27 with me. We're going to look at a couple of things here tonight, and really some neat stuff, once again, in the Old and New Testament. But in verse 27, I'll also read it again. I'm trying best to get this verse for, a Sunday, two Sundays and a half now. Verse 27 says, I, Daniel, fainted. It was certain days afterward. I was sick certain days. And after I rose up, did the king's business, I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So let's go back and see what happens in verses 20 leading up. Let's see what message that Gabriel gives. It says in verse 20, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. In the latter time, their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princesses, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut up thou the vision, for it shall be for many days. So the angel of God is sending Daniel the message of simply kingdoms rising up and kings rising up and them falling away and others rising up. And all. And you really can read the expression of this vision and paint out things that happen in our very world. How, you know, people rise to power and we have a certain thing going on in our country or another country. And all these things are going on. And what Daniel becomes overwhelmed at here and what happens in verse 27 is he listens to what God is saying. And as God begins to explain what he has seen and what's going to happen in the future, things begin to even, not just spiritually that have happened to him, some physical things begin to happen. We're going to try to connect that. So first of all, he says, I fainted. Now, let me ask a question. I can't say that I've ever been trying to get in touch with God and hear God's word and listen to hear his voice and fainted. But that's what happened to Daniel. He fainted away. He was so overwhelmed at what God said. That Zephaniah passage we read this morning as we were ending up our service. I mean, flat. You, as I encourage you, as we left, spend some time this week reading those words. You can literally see an image of the same things that are going on, the evil things that are going on in our world today that were happening then, that are happening now. And it is something that literally can really take the breath out of you. It can take the strength out of you because you realize, hey, there is a day of judgment coming. God is going to judge, and we're in the age of grace. And, you know, to think about one day, God's going to show up. God's going to be in charge, and everything's going to be right. Amen? The day is coming. So he fainted. So physically, he began to experience. And so after he had fainted, that's what wasn't enough. It says that, and he got sick. He got physically sick, and he says he was sick certain days. One way we know this better, you know, physically your body can become sick through stress, through being depressed, through all kind of things. There's so many things that can happen with the body. I'm no psychologist, I'm no doctor, but every one of us, Brooke, have experienced times where, you know, you got things going on in your life, worries, fears, questions, and what all of a sudden starts happening. It'll start affecting you physically. You might have a headache or a stomach ache, or you might. So literally what Daniel was saying is, I was hearing what God was saying, and it literally was affecting me physically. And that's really one of those indications we talk about. And once again, all the indications that you're hearing from God are all feel-good indications. But sometimes we need to realize if we're really hearing from God, it'll start having physical effects on our body. And it needs to, because it's not enough that just because something's wrong at work or wrong at home or wrong in relationship makes us get so stressed out. But we should be listening to God so that we hear him, that it affects us. It affects us to the core of who we are, and that's what was happened to Daniel. We need to have some stress and some anxiety and some being affected about the lostness in our world, you know, that will drive us to go out. So often I get areas I want to go study and things I think we need to do. And one I'd wrote down just in my notes on the opposite page as I studied is, man, you know, it's really time. It's time to go back and be fishers of men again. Amen. It's time to go fishing. It's time to go out and be. And I think sometimes what keeps us from not being fishers of men and going out and sharing with the lost is we're not having these Daniel experiences of hearing God. I tell you, you get burdened down about somebody, you get just literally sick thinking about somebody that you know that's lost, that's on the way to hell. I mean, that's probably going to drive you more, Jim, to make effort to go out sometime this week and find the person. So once again, when we're not listening to God, it's not affecting us like it should. But as you study, and I want to show you an Old Testament and New Testament, what the sickness is. Now listen, don't miss this. What the sickness is that it's What Daniel's experiencing is fear and grief. That's really what's caused his physical sickness. It's the fear and grief that he's experiencing because of what he is, what God is revealing about his own sin, and about what God is revealing about the sin of children of Israel. It's being revealed, and it's literally just making him sick. And who can say amen to that? You know, there'll be a presbyterial debate tonight. I was almost trying to argue my Sunday school class. It lasts on Monday, and I thought this one was on Monday, you know. And you know, what another blasphemous thing. This is the Lord's Day. I don't care who doesn't think it is or whatever. Sunday is the Lord's Day, and that's probably one of the worst things that could be happening on a Sunday. And Sunday night at 9 is still the Lord's Day. And so it literally, often isn't that what happens? It makes you sick. Somebody was half joking, or maybe not in our class, they talked to somebody and said, well, I guess I feel like I'm going to go in, when I go in to vote for president, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to just literally get sick when I go in. And we understand why. But that's what, that's where Daniel was at. So it's okay to be, it's okay to be just sick, literally, from all the sin that we see in our lives and our world and all around us, because that's what Daniel was experiencing. He was hearing from God. Turn with me to Habakkuk. Habakkuk, which is right to the left of Zephaniah that we looked at before we left this morning. But Habakkuk, one of those real familiar books in the Bible, amen? Habakkuk. We probably need to go back and just study Habakkuk and Zephaniah and the prophecies they have. But in Habakkuk, and let's look, though, in chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Habakkuk, beginning in verse 1, what we have here, and I love how this starts off, it's a prayer of Habakkuk. Let me stop right there before I read it. A prayer of Habakkuk. The prophet Habakkuk is praying. What's he doing? What is prayer? Y'all listen. Too often our prayers, and I guess we don't set a very good example at church. What we do at church, we're always praying, and once we get done praying, everyone who's leading the prayer for the altar who finishes, we're done. And prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. I've heard different statements that in your prayer time, whatever time that you spend praying, you know, and I'm even praying to yourself, you're praying that you're praying to God, you spend equally that much time or more staying there before God and listening to Him. I've heard say a good idea for a preacher, if you spend an hour studying, or a Sunday school teacher, Aaron Martin, you're studying for a Sunday school lesson, or I'm praying for a sermon, if you study an hour, then you need to connect that with an hour of prayer, listening to God. So what we have here is what we've been talking about these last Sundays. Habakkuk is, he wants to hear from God. Not just talk to God, he wants to hear from God. Look what it says. In a prayer for Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shinganoth, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. So as we're talking, that's what Daniel, he said, God, I heard you speak. I heard what you're telling me. I was afraid, O Lord. And then he goes on and says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Back its time, it's a revealing of God's wrath being poured out. And so here Habakkuk's praying and crying out to God to if he wants God to have for be a revival of his work, and that God would have mercy, even in the midst of God about to pour down wrath, that God would have mercy. I tell you, one of the greatest prayers that you can join me in, oftentimes what we find is we find people in our families, in our work family or school family or our church family, we find people going off and they're not listening to God, and they're getting away from God. And they can still be in church, amen? They can still be in church, maybe if not be somewhere in church, but they're just away from God. Older pastors will say that when someone makes decisions, when they make choices, when they say things and they do things, no matter if it's on a personal level or it's a business decision or a relationship decision or church decision, older pastors will tell you, and literally, I've literally got chills on my neck thinking about it. Older pastors will say, well, oftentimes see as the book of life's being written, that's chapter 1. A choice is made, something's done. And they'll make the statement, they say, but watch for chapter 2. And what they mean by that is there's consequences to all the choices that we make. And the chapter 2 is coming and we don't know how it'll come. I've had older pastors even testify about someone that just went against God and went against God's will, and that, you know, how God had taken life. And literally, to be honest with you, personally, it's just really, now, I've been around some guys that get excited about that. They're like looking for chapter two and wanting it to happen. But God really warns us to not do that in the Bible. But I've seen it. But whenever I hear those things, it really humbles me. It scares me. And what's driven me to me often and join me, probably every one of you knows someone like this, even your family or church family or work family or whatever. But when I think of those things, the consequences, the chapter twos of sin, I think about Moses. And Moses, just kind of like as a Habakkuk's doing, Moses, what would Moses do? Moses would continually fall before God. He'd pray before God, and he'd hear from God of what was going to happen. And he realized the sin. And here's what Moses would do. He'd become passionate, and it'd be a powerful prayer that Moses prayed to God to forgive him of his own sin. Amen? And then he would pray that God would forgive and have mercy on the sins of those that, and listen, these are the people who were murmuring about Moses, who were wouldn't do anything. God, but listen, and you've all got those. See, God, Satan wants somebody to become your enemy. And Moses sets the example of Moses, even though what the people had done to him, he loved God enough and loved the people that he prayed, oh God, please spare them, please let them turn, please spare your judgment for coming down on someone. Some of you have heard that before, and I tell you, just that's my prayer, and I've done that many times, and we should do that for those that we love. So in Habakkuk, he goes on, and he says, in fact, let's just go down to the end of chapter 3. At the end of chapter 3, look at the picture here. In verse 17 of Habakkuk, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I'm going to stop there for a moment. I wish I had gone. There's a verse in the I'll never forget, and you've got the building. You still got the old building. I'm so thankful you still got that. Well, years ago, there was a time we went in and put all new carpet in that older Sunday school building and painted and did some things fixed up in the old church and old building. And I never will forget, it was just almost immediately after that happened, someone was talking about, and was really, they were really kind of, you know, being upset about that the children, what they might go in, might drop down and mess that carpet up. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, and gosh, I wish I'd thought to look at my study this afternoon, but let me see if I can get it right. Where there is no ox, the crib is clean, but with the ox there is much increase. Okay? Now, some of you might want to use this. Some of it will help you, me or lady who cleans the house, not to be so crazy about it. I use that verse. You know, see, the word of God is so powerful and so awesome. Especially, and so when somebody told me that, I quoted that verse to them. I said the verse, and I felt like the person that was thinking that way didn't understand the Bible too well. So I only said it to them, but I explained it to them. I said, what God says is, if you ain't got no children, then your carpet and everything will be nice and clean and fine. But the Bible says if you got children like those oxen, there's great increase with them, and you're going to have a mess. Amen? You all right? Same way, man, you know, I'm not saying to disrespect God's building or do anything, but what the Bible's saying is, listen, and there's a picture here in the prophecy of Habakkuk, it says there's no herd in the stalls. There's no ox in the stalls. There's a time of God's judgment. The fields aren't, nothing's being, you know, we ride down the road and see the cotton wide into harvest, the soybeans ready to pick, the corn's been picked, and gardens are done, or the fall stuff's coming off. And he's saying, there'll be a time when none of that happens. So we need to be reminded that that's the coming days of judgment. Thank God through Jesus Christ, we'll be raptured up. We're not going to experience the tribulation, but the Bible says there's going to be 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. As Habakkuk is getting the prophecy, it points to times in the Bible when the children of Israel were heading out of Egypt and God was having the plagues come upon them, and other times that God can cause so much judgment to come upon an individual or a family or a church. We need to understand that it's where nothing, there's no fruits, what the picture over here is. And then he says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Then in a more practical passage and verse, what we're experiencing now, I can't imagine some of the ugliness that's going to be in that debate tonight. Amen? You just see it coming. I mean, you know, I really have a problem. I don't care what the circumstances are, but when people cut one another off and poke at one another and act the way that our politicians do, it's just blasphemy before God. And so here's our verse for tonight. God had it planned. Here's what I'm going to do. Yet, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, and I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. Now, whether you watch it or don't watch it, whether you hear about it or talk, but see, that's what happens. And here's not only what peace we can have. And listen, that's one thing. I don't know what person is going on in your life or what's happening, but what God is saying is, as we pray like Habakkuk and we hear his voice, God wants to let us know that no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what's happening, even the consequence of our own sin, that what we, our decision, our choice must be that we're going to continually, until the day Jesus returns we die, we are going to be rejoicing in the Lord and joy in the God of my salvation. Now that convicts me, though, Loretta. Because if I listen to some of that tonight, one of the first things I won't be doing is talking to one of y'all or somebody tomorrow about, can you believe they said that or what happened? Chris, here's our God. Here's how we go. Whether we watch it or not, or will we hear what happens, right? You know, what we need to be doing tomorrow, what we need to do be doing the day after the election's over, what we need to be doing if we find ourselves out serving him and doing what we want to do this week, or if we find ourselves laying in the hospital, or if we find ourselves at the funeral home, planning the funeral for someone, what we say in the midst of this, what we're going to do is we're going to rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know, that's good stuff. No matter what happens, that's what we do. And in verse 19, he says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon the high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Oftentimes in the Bible, you'll see that phrase about walking and about kind of a walking in a high place. I've never took time to study that, get all the biblical meaning, but I'll give you one of the most practical ones I can tell you. When I worked in Charlotte, I worked at, a lot of you have stressful jobs. And I had a stressful job. We dealt with people's payrolls, Jeff. I mean, you mess up somebody's paycheck, or you mess up, you know, for a CEO or a CFO, you mess up the payroll. Sherry, about work somebody. You mess up somebody's payroll, and man, it's bad, right, Sherry? You don't mess with somebody's money. I always tried to look at when we did payroll, and I couldn't get many of the people that worked under me, but I always remembered that when I used to work, when I was in high school especially, at work, and then the week we'd get paid. And if you were going to the beach on that Friday afternoon or Saturday, if you were going to take a beach trip with your buddies for the weekend, the money that you got in that check and went to the bank in cash, that's what money you spent. Y'all right? I didn't have a whole lot of money. There were a whole lot of extra cash. So I tried to get people, and I tried to remember, a paycheck for an employee, for many employees, is going to represent something they wanted to do that weekend or food they need to buy. It meant something. So in that stress of what I did, I literally would, at times, two things I'd do. One is, we were on Moorhead Street in Charlotte. If you're familiar with Moorhead Street, there's some businesses and everything, but there's neighborhoods right in the next area back. And sometimes I just have to go out and I just have to walk around the block. I mean, I'd be so stressed and so mad and so upset, I'd walk around that and I'd just kind of get a release and pray. Then at lunch, I usually tried to go do lunch because, you know, you look at me, I love to eat. So I tried to take my lunch hour. I might have to be at work early, Jim, or work late, 11 o'clock, but I tried to get out of the office and go eat some lunch. So I went one day. I'd carry my lunch, got so tired of eating, I carried my lunch, and I went to this little park not far from where, off Moorhead Street. And I went down to the picnic table, and I'd done it once or twice. I sat there and ate, and as I was sitting there, I noticed that there was a walking trail. It was kind of the little park was in a little valley, pretty deep valley for being in Charlotte. And there was playgrounds and kids and people eating, a lot of things going on, but I noticed there was a little path that was up on the edge of that kind of valley. I got through eating, and I started walking around that, and there was nobody up there. And the area in below was full in the valley, but up in the high place, I was walking along, and I thought, man, I think that's what those verses in the Bible are talking about. I got to thinking about, I was thinking clear, and I was praying, and I was spending some time with God, and I kept noticing all the activity, the kid getting in trouble with their parents, and you know, this couple arguing over here and these people at the table, you know, you can tell just, man, you can see it all, but it was kind of, you get what I'm saying? I was walking, and that's what the picture here is, that in the midst, isn't it wonderful? No, I don't know. But see, I know folks that home is just terrible, y'all. Both people or one person's lost. It's just, see, like I talked about B.F. McClendon this morning. He talked about, he said, you know, he had all kind of money and he did what he wanted to do, but his home was hell. He said, my home was hell because I was lost. And especially the case where you've got a child that's experienced that, or maybe you've got a wife that's saved and a husband's lost, or a husband's saved and a wife's lost, that what God's painting a picture of here, don't matter what's going on personally or in somebody's home, doesn't matter, that we can constantly, as we rejoice in him, get our joy from him, that our strength, he's our strength, and that he can allow us to really live and experience and be able to make it through that. Amen? Be able to do that. That's a wonderful promise. So not only from the Old Testament, let's go for a moment and we'll finish up tonight. Paul relates to the same experience Daniel had and that we had, and it's found in Romans 9:13. So turn to Romans with me, Romans 9:13. So as we get to Romans 9:13, before I read that, no, it's not 9:13, it's 9:1-3. That's how scratchy my notes can be. Before I read this, let me just connect what we just looked at. So once again, remember, we're looking at things Daniel experienced to help understand, are we listening to God? Oftentimes, we're not hearing from God because we're not reacting like those last verses we read in Habakkuk. We're not rejoicing. We're not, you know, we're not having our strength. We're just acting like the world, amen? We're mad at what's going on. We're aggravated. We're doing whatever. So there's an indication. Daniel fell down humbled. He heard God. Habakkuk heard God. And that's why he was able to say that in his prayer. That's why he was able to experience that, because he really had heard God. So when we hear God, that's going to be our attitude. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 9:1-3. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. In the amazing day, he says it that way. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Let's break that down for a moment. Same idea of Daniel and Habakkuk. Now, interesting note, when Paul mentions a heaviness of heart, Paul is painting a picture of, as Habakkuk had talked about having strength and having joy and having all these things, Paul is speaking more of a personal level of how he's feeling inside. Now, here's what it's easy for us to do. Here's what we often do. Whatever we're feeling in our heart, it's going to spill over into everybody and everything we deal with, right? It's not how God would have us be. We don't know who we're talking to. Paul's heart was for the lost, and what he is saying here, why he starts off saying, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. There were so many talks of false prophets and so many talks of who is Paul, and an argument about Paul's not really an apostle because they say he didn't live when Jesus was there, didn't know Jesus. And Paul would simply say, no, I saw him on the road to Damascus. I did meet him. I am an apostle. So he's just reminding of the truth, and he says, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He's hearing from God through the Holy Ghost, and it's embedded in his mind. And here's the statement, one of those powerful statements in the whole Bible, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. What was the sorrow for? What was the heaviness? For the lost. For people who didn't know Jesus. There's our other indication. If we really hear from God, and y'all, I don't idly say on lots of Sundays or say when I start trying to, you know, I'll start saying, if you're saved, if you know Jesus, here's what you're doing. You'll love your Bible, you'll pray, you'll be in church, you'll be wanting to share Jesus. As Christians, I believe most everybody in here knows Jesus Christ. If we'll really hear from God, in his word and prayer, if we're really listening to God, we will experience and have what Paul has here. Let me read it again. He says, I have great. He doesn't say I have heaviness. He said, I've got great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Paul continued to preach. Paul continued to share. Paul continued to go, just like Daniel did. But what he had heard from God, he knew the reality of hell. He knew what it cost Jesus on the cross for salvation. And I'm telling you, we need that. But y'all, that comes with a price. If you've got great heaviness and continual sorrow in your heart, you're going to have to do something about it. Amen? You're going to have to do something about it. He says in verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul is saying, if I could be accursed from God and everybody else I've got this heaven for could know him. That's hearing from God. Go back to Daniel with me and we'll finish. In Daniel 8:27, memory fainted, he was sick certain days. But look what it says. He said, afterward I rose up and did the king's business. That's what Daniel's job was. He served the king. This is the one that, unless God calls you to be a full-time missionary and sends you on a mission field, it's the picture of what Daniel's saying is, I was down, I was sick, I'd heard God, all this happened. But God got me back up and I got back to work. I got back doing what God called me to do. And we have a lot of people, y'all, that give up. People give up all the time. And what Daniel's saying here to us and painting the picture is that when we hear from God, ultimately God will continually have us get back to doing what he has given us to do. It don't matter if you like your job or not. I remember one time years ago, went to my mom and dad's house, you know, we were talking, I forget what was going on at work, and I made some statement about work, you know, my dad had had his stroke and everything, but you knew exactly what he meant by his face and his gestures, and I made some comment, and I think my mama said, well, the world's full of people who hate their job every day. And I'm thinking, well, wow, that's not very much encouragement and commiseration with me, you know. Come on, Mom. But it's a Daniel-like spirit. I've told y'all before, I had a bad habit when I lived at home forever, moved out of the house. I'd be laying in bed, especially in the summertime when I'd go to work early and I'd set my alarm and get up. My mom would come up and she would be getting on me and I'd give some excuse for why I wouldn't give up. My mom looked at me one time, it only took one time, Miss Martin. She looked at me and she said, that's a bad habit and you need to get over it. So now oftentimes if I'm laying in bed and I don't want to get up, y'all all right? I hear Mama. With a Daniel-like spirit. Daniel, hey, get up. I've got a good wife. And I remember one time I came here once again what the circumstances were, and I was just wanting to have a pity party. And don't y'all look at me spiritual like y'all got it. Everybody in here, you'll have a time in life or have times where you kind of want to have a pity party, you know? And the worst thing you can have is a husband, wife, friend, or whatever to have one with you. And I was there, and I was just wanting to have a little pity party. And my wife looked at me, and she said, you just need to get over that. If you expect me to get down in that and wallow in that with you, I'm not going to do it. You just need to get over it. Kind of looked up. I almost said, yes, ma'am, but I was too, you know, aggravated at her to say it. Well, Daniel, listen, and that's how we need to treat our children. And Brooke can tell you, sit right here and testify, and I'll close with this. It didn't happen often, but with Brooke and with Hilton, you know, in the morning, waking up, Daddy, I don't feel good. And what would I say, Brooke? I would often say, well, get on up and get your shower and get ready and we'll go and you'll feel better later today. Now, if they were, you know, our rule was, you know, if you're throwing up, hey, that's just sick, you know, or you got some real proof, you know, fever or whatever. Well, one day with Brooke had fallen at her nanny's house on her arm. And that morning she said, Daddy, my arm's hurting. Oh, get up, your arm be fine, go on. When she got up, you could tell something's wrong with her arm. Oh, this ain't working. And so we went to the doctor, and the doctor says, yeah, I think your arm's broke. We'll go get x-ray, get x-rays, the x-ray, yeah, I think it's broke. Go to the orthopedic, yeah, it's broke. So just warn you, that attitude of always getting back to work, sometimes it don't work. Amen, Brooke? But her arm got fixed, and she's fine. But here's the point. We need to, for our children and our coworkers and our friends, people we really love, They might have heard from God. God might be, there might be so much happening in their life that you know they're experiencing. They're sick from what's going on. It's a Daniel thing. Somebody's got to be one to say, but you got to get up and you got to go on. Because I've learned some, you know, folks, for somebody, some people that hate their job so bad, I can't hardly listen to them anymore. I smile at them. I'm thinking, I just believe I'd pray and I'd try and God get me a better one. Sometimes people just like to complain about where they're at. Daniel was sick, fainted. He'd heard from God. He got up. He got back to work. And it says at the end, he says he was astonished. He was astonished about what he had saw. Y'all, ain't that where, that's where you want to live, ain't it? That we hear from God continually, and we and it says nobody understood. If you really hear him from God, it's going to be hard for anybody else to understand what you're hearing from God. But what good is that? So Daniel gives us some practical things. Amen? Amen. Jeff, would you close us in prayer, brother?